This morning, our text of Scripture comes from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 12 to 17. I just want to say before I read the text of Scripture, this past week I had the privilege of being in Cleveland, Ohio this past week at Parkside Church, Alistair Begg's ministry, Truth for Life. Many of you may know Alistair Begg, and was at the what is called the Basics Conference, which is a conference for pastors. And so I've been away this past week, and it was a tremendous, tremendous encouragement to my heart. And I praise God for the time that I had to be able to spend there and to be challenged in the Word and to be ministered to. So often as a pastor, you spend so much of your time exhausting yourself and ministering to others that you rarely take the time to be ministered to yourself. And I praise God for that time that was spent this past week, and thankful for our elders, thankful for Jeff and Steve and for Randy and for Pastor Bish. And as well, especially for Brother Steve, who is going to be bringing us the word this morning, and who has so willingly taken that responsibility on himself today. And so I praise God for that. And so, that being said, I will read Brother Steve's passage today from Romans 8, and trust the Lord for what he's going to do. Romans 8, 12 to 17, it says this: "So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may be glorified with him." This is God's word. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for today and the day that you have given us. We thank you so much for the reminder of the blessing of motherhood that we have received this morning. I thank you so much for our sister Effie and for all of the testimony that she has shared with us this morning, and for our brother Jeff and for the song that he sang. God, I pray this morning that as Brother Steve comes and brings your word, God, that you would open our hearts to it. God, that each and every one of us today would grow as a result of our time under this great and glorious word. God, that we would be challenged to live in accordance with the ways that you have prescribed in these pages. God, that you would encourage us through the gospel of Jesus. And God, that we would not walk away from this place unchanged today. And so, Lord, I pray for your tremendous blessing upon our elder, Brother Steve. I pray, God, for your blessing upon your word. And I pray, God, that you would glorify yourself in and through each and everything that transpires in the next few minutes. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Steve.
I think it's amazing how God works sometimes. I want to thank Jeff for that song, because actually, in preparation, I was trying to look through, and some of the music I was tempted to sing I Can Only Imagine this morning. And so, Jeff, thank you. It fits right in. Initially, when Pastor came to me, or came to us as elders, and we sat, and I says, I'd be willing to share, but I don't have anything planned. I don't have anything out. And initially, it was going to be last Sunday. So I sat there, okay, let's see if I can tie something in with Cinco de Mayo and be real cool. Well, the Lord shut the door on that right away. Listen, what I share this morning, is what the Lord's working on me. Not going to get any fantastic theological depth and everything, but I hope it's personal. I'm asking the Lord what to share. And I don't know, this still small voice comes in and talks about what we inherit. Heirs of God. First question I ask is why? Lord, why do you want me to share that? An inheritance to me, I don't come from a rich family. I don't come from anything like that. My inheritance is my family name. As I grew up, I often wished maybe I could take on my mother's maiden name, because Grandpa only had four daughters, so he had no one to carry on the name. And there's not a lot of Hollingsheads out there, right? That to me is what the heritage was and is. Praise God for my heritage, both grandparents, strong believers in Christ. My grandfather on my mother's side was a missionary with American Sunday School Union for years. My father and uncle helped him start a Bible camp in north central Nebraska, which in the latest floods really got destroyed a few years ago, this year. So I come from a family with a Christian heritage, but I still had come to the point where I had to accept Christ. It had to be that personal decision. So no matter what my heritage, but when I'm looking at the scripture, we read Romans chapter 8, 38 and 39 are some of my life's verses. But I'm reading through, and we've went through in Sunday school class. If you haven't been in Sunday school class in Romans, you're missing a lot. But we came across a passage in Romans chapter 8 and verse 12. And as he's gone through everything, but he says, "So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." Isn't that a precious statement right there? Don't just leave it as, we are children of God. Just because it says sons doesn't mean you ladies are left out. Every one of us. Now, I know today's Mother's Day, and this really doesn't emphasize mothers, but it emphasizes all of us. We are children of God. "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified in him." Like I said, I'm not going to go into a lot of in-depth stuff, but this is personal. This is what God has been teaching me through the last several weeks. I think it's precious that he calls us children of God, but we are heirs. But more than that, we are fellow heirs with Christ. Turn over, if you will, with to me to Ephesians chapter 1. As you notice, I don't put the words up. I'm old-fashioned. I like you to open your Bibles and look at it for yourself. But Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for the adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. It's ours, not will be ours. It is ours if we are in Christ. Galatians 4 also compares with Galatians chapter 4. Basically, Paul is repeating again verses 1 through 7. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive, that word again, adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. He loved us so much. He chose to make us an heir right alongside with his son. Our relationship with God is such as through his son. Instantly, we are heirs. We are heirs. We always look forward to what we're going to receive. And that's part of the reason I think inheritance confuses us. Because we look at what we're going to receive. Many people, you know, wealthy families, sometimes maybe it's a good thing we're not from a wealthy family. But we look, oh, this is what I'm going to get. You know, I'm going to get this, get that. And then you see it all the time. Somebody gets mentioned in the will and that's it. But it's what we have. Remember, we look at the prodigal son and he says, Father, give me my share, and took off. It was always his. It didn't change. But it is our inheritance that we have through the blood of Christ. But not the spirit of slavery. A slave didn't have anything to look forward to. None of his possessions was going to, none of the owner's possessions. We look at a slave, you're a worker. All right, everything that's your boss's, you don't have anything of it except what he gives you for a paycheck. But as children, we have possession of that already. Now, he's got guardians over us, our teachers, and he's causing us to grow the process of sanctification. It's ours, but we're not going to grab it. We're not going to get it all right now. One day it will all be ours, all that is Christ's will be ours. We're heirs of God, how do you say, through Christ. But he did it through the spirit of adoption, sons. But what is it to be an heir? Legal definition of an heir is a person legally entitled to the property or rank of another on that person's death. And through the death of Christ, we have become heirs. God has chosen that process for we to become heirs. But it also is a person inheriting and continuing the legacy of a predecessor. I told you my growing up, and even as a young child, when I thought about an heir, I did. Not that I preferred one grandfather over another, but I always felt like my grandfather, Hollingshead, got robbed because he didn't have anyone to carry on his name. We are Christ ones. We are carrying on the name of Christ as we live each and every day. That's the inheritance we have. Why? He chose to love us, chose to get us. An heir receives something. We're all heirs. But I like that he goes on, heirs of God, but what did he say? Fellow heirs with Christ, or as King James put it, joint heirs. What's the difference? If I mention you in my will and I give you $5, you are an heir. You are an heir when I die. Right? To be a fellow heir or joint heir, maybe it's an oversimplification. My wife and I have joint checking accounts. All right? Everything that's in that account is mine. Everything that's in that account is hers. All it takes is my signature, and I can empty out that account. It doesn't require both of us. That's maybe an oversimplification. We are joint heirs. Everything that is Christ's is ours. The glory, the spiritual relationship, don't forget the suffering. He never promised us to be without suffering. Who suffered more than Christ suffered? But it is ours because God has chosen to adopt us through Christ. Joint heirs. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. My pages stick together here. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you." For everyone who reads that, for those that know Christ, they read that. It's for you. Not for the one next to you. Yes, it's for them. But this is personal. It's mine. The problem is, we don't take possession. Too often, we do look at that inheritance as what we will get, not as what we already possess. But why are we heirs, fellow heirs with Christ? And this is something that didn't mean a lot to me. Adoption is not something, yes, I'm familiar with, and I know what it goes through. What is it to be adopted? And as I started looking at our inheritance and why, but why did he make us heirs? Because he adopted us. Simple as that. He adopted us, brought us in. We are his children. So thus made us heirs and joint heirs with his son. But he adopted us as children. Now, as I went through trying to prepare for this, I said, I'm not that familiar with adoption. I know several in here probably have adopted, been adopted, and everything. I wanted to talk to people who adoption meant a lot too. I have a brother-in-law that has no children of his own. I knew this would do it. He has adopted 8 children and has 2 older adult children that still call him daddy. I remember when his first wife, before she passed away, she had 3 children at the time. And when it came time to adopt those children, the oldest, I think, was about, or the oldest was a teenager, and then Ryan was, I'm going to say, around fifth or sixth grade, something like that. And then there was Annie. But one thing Ryan did when his father asked that he be adopted, he asked to change his name. And he's not talking about his last name, because it's a new stage in his life. When we are adopted by Christ, it is a new stage in our life. And he chose to change his first name because he said, I want the old has passed away, and now it's new. To him, that's what it was. Young kid just in grade school. But it was powerful to me. And as I recalled that as I'm preparing this, that's what we are in Christ. I want a separation from what I was. Why do we try to live so close to the line to be attractive to the others? When our family wants us to have the best, when our family wants nothing but the best for us, when my father disciplined me as a child, why did he discipline me? Because he wanted the best for me and wanted me to grow up to be the responsible person he wanted me to be. When my Father in heaven disciplines me, why? Because I'm bad, not necessarily. Because he wants to form me into the image that he wants. And only a loving Father can do that for us. But he talks about Abba, Father. What is that? What is it they say? Any man can be a father, but it takes a special person to be a daddy. Jewish history said God is the authoritarian. He sets the law. Paul comes in, calls him daddy. Why? Because he loved me so much. I know I threw Adam off. I went out of order. But he did. He loved me so much. Paul recognized that love so much he could call him. Our relationship, yes, God is our authority figure and he is our law. He has that fine line. But why? Because he's daddy. Abba. Father. But when we look at adoption is the action or fact of legally taking another's child and bringing it up as your own. It's also the act or fact of choosing to take up, follow, or use something. I think we can do both. I think both falls in. We should take up the duties that God has given us and live it. We are bringing glory or we're bringing dishonor to his name by how we live. And if we're serving a father and a daddy that loves us so much, why should it be a burden to do as he requests? But those that have gone through it know adoption is costly. It's not cheap. That's the disgrace now today. It's cheap to have the abortion. It's not cheap to take care of that child. It's not cheap. But you know, our adoption costs more than anything that money can buy. You know, we've got a lot of legal red tape, and if it seems long and hard, keep in mind this red tape is not yet red with blood. But our adoption was brought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus satisfied our legal adoption into God's family. He dissatisfied the legal demands for our adoption precisely by shedding his blood. But praise God, he didn't stay there. And he's there waiting for us to come join him, anxiously awaiting. I contacted a couple of my brother-in-law's kids, my nephew and my niece. I didn't get full permission to use what they wrote to me, but I think it, when I got the letters from them, it kind of did my sermon. I said, this is this tough part for me. Daniel was were they preteens? Preteens when two twin brothers that my brother adopted from Latvia. And so it was a little bit different. But his statement was, when my parents brought us to the United States, I was concerned and a little afraid. Because it was in a country I was not born in. I was in a family that I didn't grow up with from my baby years. I didn't know what to expect, but as days went on, I learned to trust my family and found love. But then I asked him not only what did it mean to you then, but I says, what does it mean to you now? And he says, being adopted doesn't mean that my family felt sorry for me and they just took me in. I had been chosen and been placed by God in this family. Today I can proudly say that I have parents and siblings that love me and will have my back. Is that our attitude in the family of God? I have a family, I have parents, I have a father that loves me. I have a family that has my back. But as I told you, Ryan, who was TJ, changed his name. He was just a young fellow, but he saw the difference that it made. But then I got the letter from Annie. She was the youngest at the time. There's several siblings since then, but she was the youngest at the time. And this, I'm going to struggle getting through this. But when my mom asked us if we wanted to be adopted by Dad, I wasn't fully aware what that meant. But Ryan was so excited about it that I agreed and said it sounded great. I fully understood what it meant to be adopted once the adoption was finalized. Dad said the day of the adoption, I couldn't stop crying because I couldn't understand why the man who was supposed to be our father didn't want us. But this man who didn't have to be our dad did want us. I went from not having a constant male figure in my life to having the best dad who showed us what true love is. He brought us so much love and happiness to my mom and us that I thank God daily for him. He's not just my dad, but one of my best friends. And again, I asked her, that's then. What does it mean to you now? Dad adopting me affected me greatly. And if he hadn't come into our lives, I'm not sure where I would be or who I would have turned out to be. I couldn't ask for a better father. He showed us what true hard work is, taught us to love unconditionally, and that it's okay to make mistakes. I know that most of this sounds very cliche, but it's all true. I still, to this day, do most everything with him in mind because I want to make him proud. Not that I don't make my own decision and live my own life, but I also value his thoughts and opinions in the highest regard. Because of him, I was able to grow up in a house where we are loved hard, and laughed often. Not afraid to make mistakes. We all make mistakes. Our Father loves us so much. He wants us to have him in our life daily. I skipped over a passage, but nothing to worry about. To me, that stated it right there. She didn't know what it meant to be adopted, and we don't always know what it meant. I didn't really know what affected the adoption had. And since then, there's been 5 other kids join that family. But to see what it meant to the child to be adopted drew new light to me what it means for me to be adopted as a child of God. What's her driving force? Everything I do, I want to please my Father. Shouldn't that be our same desire as we walk the Christian walk? As children of God, a God who loved us so much, He adopted us out of... Satan could care less about us, except that we're standing for Christ. A Father who didn't care, didn't want us, was somebody who chose to grab us, chose to take us and adopt us into a family and be that example for us through the blood of Christ. To me, to be an heir, we sang, I am a child of the King. We always think about the wealth, but what about just the blessings, the spiritual blessings? It's not about what we're going to get. What we already have, it's ours. We can draw on that bank account that's there. You're struggling? Draw on that bank account. Draw on that account because we are joint heirs with Christ. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Everything that's His is ours. The spiritual blessings, yes, the struggles, yes, the pain, but it's all. We are fellow heirs with Christ. We represent... I was tempted to sing, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Can you say that? It's an old song back from, it's not so old, it's only in the 70s, so it's a new song. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Can you say that? Does your life show it? Does the fact that you are a child of God bring you to the point, I do not want to bring disgrace to the name of God? You are the example. You are the scripture that many people read. Yet growing up, I never wanted to be a disgrace to my own family name. Early on, believers were called Christ ones. Now we call it Christian, and now it's become a dirty word to be called a Christian. Why? I wish we'd go back to Christ ones. Don't be ashamed of being the adopted child of God. How does that impact your life? I know it's not necessarily a Mother's Day sermon, but I think it's a family. When I started this, it didn't mean a whole lot to me. And I couldn't figure out why God was pointing me in this way. I won't say He laid down and said, you're going to do this. But as I started to talk to individuals and started looking, now you won't find, I went through a lot of different ones studying on this, and they took different angles than what I ever thought of going on this. This is what God is teaching me. I hope you've gotten a little bit of what God is starting to show me. God loves us so much. He adopted us. And because we're adopted, we are heirs. Heirs of God, why? Because He adopted us. We're His children. Lord, we thank You for this day that You've given us. We thank You for Your many blessings. We thank You. And I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Thank You, Lord. May I live that example. May I live that life for You. Grow us in Your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.